This is Michael from Colorado. In this episode of Chickens, Beer, Fish Cleaning, Baseball Cards, Muscle Flexes, Scary Stats, Strong Opinions, and Marginal Analysis is brought to you by the IVNB Patreon supporters. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVNB podcast. This is our 337th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by one other host of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Yep, and the one other is not Andy. It is Kurt. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it's rarely just me and you.
I know.
We've maybe done it just a couple times.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy shows up for the fun stuff, you know, bus trips, and then decides that he's going to bail for when work is to be done.
Right.
Andy is nowhere to be found.
Well, I've known Andy for many years, and that's just always been the way he works, you know?
Yep. I guess it's silly of us to expect different, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll see how long it takes him to come back. Who knows?
Yep.
So because we use Google Plus, we are able to stream these recordings live. If you go to ivmv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central on Sunday evenings, you'll be able to watch it happen. Actually, Andy is not with us tonight because he's in the process of moving and they don't yet have internet at their house. And I believe he said he has to go like another 8 days without internet. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
At least
that would be tough. He's got his phone.
That's true, man.
Check on the Twitter.
Right. You can do about it. I mean, I could probably get away without having internet at our house. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't be on the episode right now then, so maybe I can't.
It's kind of funny how much you rely on it.
Yeah. So Andy gets a little vacation that is surely more stressful than talking about the Cubs and recording since they are moving. This episode is brought to you by ParkWiz. If you're driving up to a Cubs game this week to see them play the Brewers or for any other games this season, check out ParkWiz. You know, if you drive up there, you know that parking in Wrigleyville is a pain. It's expensive. And ParkWiz is a solution to both of those problems. If you go to the ParkWiz ad on the side of our website, ivmv.com, you can pick the game that you'll be going to and then find your parking spots ahead of time. It's both easy and cheaper, so why wouldn't you do it? Go to ivmv.com and find your game in the ParkWiz widget on the side of our website. So I think we're both kind of recovering from yesterday's bus trip to the Cubs game.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, of all bus trips, I would say this is my most tame. I didn't get out of control. I actually really enjoyed that this year. All in all, I had a fantastic time.
Yeah. To be honest, I said this on the way home. I'm not even sure I really had like a buzz at any point. I don't know. But my throat kind of hurts today. I think I yelled a lot at the game.
You know, I got a cold from my 3-year-old, so I've got that going on. And then a lot of yelling and then a few beers on top of it. I'm not taking care of myself, but you can probably hear that a little bit in my voice today. But is not because I went nuts on the bus. It's just simply because I have a little bit of a cold. But you know, I like the fact that I didn't get too crazy. Probably because I was a little sick, and I think that led to a little more of a more controlled good time yesterday. But it was one of my favorite bus trips.
Yes,
probably because it's fresh. But it was definitely one of my favorites because there was so many listeners and so many great people that we met.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about the bus trip in a little bit, but how about this series with the Giants? I mean, on last week's episode, I talked about the Cubs playoff odds and how they jumped a bunch in that previous week. I think the week before, I think it was, if I remember right, it was around 40 or 43%, something like that. And then a week ago, I think it was up to 64%, and it is now over 75%. So this team is rolling, and they're just so fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think we all got a little down after that Phillies series because the Phillies are terrible, and we thought, uh-oh, like, is this how the second half's going to go. And then
in the words of Pat, it was a turning point in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they play the Pirates and the Giants. And then, you know, I'm looping in all these other series too, but it's nice to see them against the two teams they're chasing, you know, really perform well. You know, the Pirates, they went 2 of 3 with that one postponed game. And then the sweep, and a four game sweep, I think is tough, especially against a good team like the Giants. And then, and I think it really came from the offense kind of came back to life finally. We've been talking about this forever, it seems like. The offense just kind of being stale, and finally they come to life, and you get good pitching on top of offense, and
that's how you win ball games.
Sweep. That's how you sweep four games against the Giants. Yeah. And, you know, the Giants are, they didn't look good in this series, but they're a good team.
Yeah. Hunter Pence looked good.
Jeez. Oh, Hunter Pence. The child, the major league. He's Henry Rowan Gardner as a position player. I don't know. We watched him, you know, of course, at the game yesterday, and I was making fun of his practice swings. Just like, he's so fidgety, the ADD, all that stuff. But
you're going to diagnose him with ADD?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What are you?
Let's not jump. Yeah, I don't want to get harassing emails about my diagnosis. But yeah, he's, well, because I said that a little bit too, because on today on the,
you and Gordon Whitmire TV, just you know,
well, on the TV broadcast
Monday morning PhDs,
they talked about, it was Len was like, they didn't say ADD, but they're like, they showed him for like a minute straight and like, watch him, he just cannot stand still. And then JD's like, he needs a Fitbit.
Yeah, I heard him say
and he's
that.
Like, yeah. And then he starts counting his steps. It's pretty funny. So yeah, I don't know. Good, but yeah, I hate him.
Yeah, I think he's amazing. This series was awesome, though. You know, I booked our bus trip for Saturday. One of the reasons that I did that was that the Giants were the defending world champions, and I just thought, oh, that'd be a fun series. I didn't really think that the Cubs would be in a playoff battle with the Giants right now. But this series was really important, and, you know, the Cubs just took care of business. The bats were hot. Pitching was good. I think that this series did a lot to kind of build confidence with this team. I think that if they would have cracked under pressure or lost this series for whatever reason, I really do think that could have done some damage. I mean, I think that when they kind of fell flat on their faces against the Cardinals, you know, so far this year, a couple times, I think that that's kind of like hurt the confidence of this team. But you know, the Mets are in first place in the NL East. Cubs won all 7 games against them this year. They've taken the first 4 out of 7 games that they'll be playing against the Giants. They play again here in a couple of weeks. Really, the Cubs just need to figure out the Cardinals. They're playing the Pirates well.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, they've been playing all good teams pretty well except the Cardinals. I think that was one of my scary stats a couple of weeks ago, but they really need to figure out the teams who aren't good. I mean, they have not played against against the Brewers.
I wonder if some of that is like kind of that mid-season, the team is still gelling, you know, they're young, and so maybe they think like, oh, we're just playing this team, they're not that good, you know, and they kind of like cruise control. But I wonder, like, there just seems to be, and I'm going to bring this up later, but especially with the way that Joe Maddon kind of approached this Giants series, I think he approached it like a playoff series. And I kind of think maybe that just kind of sets the tone for the rest of the season, that every game matters from here on out. Every game, yeah. I think what Joe Maddon's saying is, if I'm managing this game in early August like a playoff game, then that's how important all of these games are. And I kind of feel like we're going to see them play the weaker teams better from here on out than they have earlier in the season.
I hope so. I mean, in the next few series will be a good test for that, because they've got the Brewers, the White Sox, the Tigers, and then the Braves. All those teams are under 500. So that's going to be a good test to kind of see like, hey, you just beat Pittsburgh in a shortened series. You just swept the Giants. Now can you beat the teams you're supposed to beat,
right,
that are under 500? But again, going back to this Giants series, I think the biggest key, or the kind of biggest positive for me, is the fact that this is the first series, I think, that really had this much weight to it. You know, the Cubs were a half game back starting it. It really means something. There's playoff implications.
Well, if they would have, if they would have gotten swept the series, I mean, it would be really. I mean, it's
you'd be the Giants,
right? Yeah,
you'd be the one back. You know, four. Well, they'd have been back four and a half games. To see them respond and then win, I guess that's good news in the fact that, like, hey, this, you know, if this is a playoff series, this series matters. Obviously, you go in and you take care of business. So that was really great to see.
Yeah.
And the pitching matchups really actually worked hugely in their favor in this series, but they didn't have to face Baumgartner. You know, the Giants have other good pitchers, but not as good as him.
Right. Yeah. So let's get into the big topic of the week, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of topics, I think. But so Miguel Montero came back from the DL. The Cubs were forced to kind of have basically they were forced into some tough roster decisions, I guess. The front office and Joe Maddon, they wanted to keep Kyle Schwarber, keep his bat in the lineup. And that meant he was going to get significant playing time in left field. And at that point, it kind of became a chain reaction moving players, and they, you know, the players that they wanted to keep in the lineup, and then ultimately the dominoes fell, and Starlin Castro was the odd man out.
Yeah, and I suppose we've been kind of defending him, but I guess this is obviously the right move as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think our defense of him is that he's not.
We just thought he didn't deserve the attacks.
Well, and I think
we know he's not playing well. Like, we're
right.
Dumb,
oh yeah. But I think we also feel like this that we're seeing this year is not the real right. Starlin Castro. And I don't know if the 300 hitter is the real Starlin Castro either, but it kind of felt like people were focusing on this year and kind of projecting right. And my internet muscle flex will be an example of that. But anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
But yeah, I think in addition to that is that if he's going to have a bad year, why wouldn't you want it to be when everybody else seems to be playing pretty well and you got all these young kids coming up, they can fill in the gaps. Anyways, that's a whole other conversation. As far as Starlin this year, I mean, I think the pressure behind him made this decision inevitable. You know, Russell's not been great offensively, but he's been good enough. And then defensively,
although he's been good lately.
Yes, he has.
If you're kind of doing the hot bat,
yeah,
you have to leave him in there.
Exactly. And then defensively, I think it's been night and day. I mean, Starlin's made good plays, but he also had his gaffes this year. And Russell's been outstanding defensively. And then I think that's pretty clear that Russell's going to be the better defensive shortstop. I mean, it made a lot of sense, and it makes a lot of sense for the way that Madden's managing this team, that there's no handouts, there's no like, okay, yeah, this is your spot no matter what. It's just that this guy's playing better. It doesn't matter that he's 22. He's going to get the spot. So I'm down with the move. I still don't hate Starlin like I think a lot of people do. I think he still has a shot to be a part of this team, but I think his shot at becoming the sort of next 5 years everyday shortstop is probably dwindling.
Right. So let's answer a listener question. We'll get to more later, but this one kind of applies to this conversation. So Jordan asks, now that Castro has been benched, do you think they were trying to move him in July a lot more than they led on? What's his trade value now? Always been a Castro fan. It will be disappointing to see it end like this if that is the case.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say. I think they probably were listening to offers, but they probably weren't presenting offers. Like, they weren't, because they were pretty quiet this offseason, this trade deadline. So I don't know. I think they were probably listening to offers that involved Castro, but I don't think they're really pushing it. But I do think the fact that he wasn't benched before then is probably because they didn't want to like deter his value or lower his value. I think his value is pretty low at this point. Not low. He's still a good everyday player, but you're not going to get good return on him.
Right. Well, I think because Madden definitely managed a series like it was a playoff series, and I think we're, like I said, I think we're going to see him manage that way from here on out for the most part. I think that Madden knows that wins are very valuable right now. And I think he knows what he's doing, and benching Castro, it's not an easy thing to do. I would assume that they did obviously try to move Castro at the deadline. It didn't happen, and winning is more important than trying to salvage his trade value at this point. So that's why I think that this is what's happened, is it's like, you know what, winning is more important than whatever we're going to get in return for him. And I think if this strategy continues, I would be really surprised to see Castro back next season. And I wouldn't really expect the Cubs to get a ton in return. I think the only thing that would keep his value up would be his previous success and his age. But the Cubs are definitely not working from a position of strength in these negotiations from here on out.
Yeah, if you think about like another team coming to the Cubs and say, hey, we want one of your middle infielders, he's not at the top of the list. So obviously, just in the Cubs system, he's not the most valuable.
Right.
So, I mean, he's probably like third.
I think it's
valuable.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear what the Cubs think about Castro now, or at least how he's playing right now. You know, I really do feel bad for Castro. We've supported him on here quite a bit, but the fact of the matter is his production right now is not going to help you win games. And I feel bad that he has to sit in the dugout with a hoodie on, but I think that it's the right move. And
yeah, I do too.
And just to tell you, like, just to show you how bad his bat is right now, Chris Coughlin is playing second base to keep Castro out of the lineup. And I think that's pretty telling, because Chris Coughlin does not look smooth at second base.
No, he doesn't. And that's to be expected, just because he hasn't done it in a while. But you're right that, like, if you're going to give up that much defensively, because you'd think a Castro at second would be a better defensive option than Coughlin.
Right.
And that Coughlin's bat is that much of a difference.
Yeah. And it's also that this is still, you know, this is a really young infield. And it went from being like, well, at least there's two people to kind of anchor that infield defensively that have played together, you know, for a number of years in Rizzo and Castro. And now it's like you've got three guys in the infield now. Like, Rizzo's your only guy that has some experience in the infield long term, I guess. That it's I think you definitely made the infield more weak defensively, but that just shows you how bad Castro's bat is right now and how unreliable it is. You can't. I mean, he has had a couple games where he got like two hits, but
it'll be interesting to see what they do over the next like month, basically until September call ups, because he's gonna get a start or two in there somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a good matchup, or, you know, he's hit well against this pitcher. Well, and he's going to get a spot, but will it be at short or will it be at second? Or, you know, what will they do with that? Is Russell going to stay? Because it would be weird to move Russell back to short or to second to let Castro play short for a spot start, but they could do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll just say, I think this whole thing is fun to watch, like as a spectator, because I think I've talked about it here on the podcast that I thought, okay, so if this position swap is going to occur at some point and Russell's going to take over at shortstop, I kind of saw that discussion happening like in the off season. And it surprised me. I mean, it felt like it was kind of leading up to something. I mean, there were like hints from Madden, like, oh, I've, you know, given some of my ideas to the front office about how to, you know, get the right people in there and stuff like that. So it felt like something was going to happen, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, if it is their goal to get Castro out of shortstop and Addison Russell in there, like, it just happened. And I have a hard time seeing it go back the other direction.
I think you're absolutely right. And then once we hit September, it's only more crowded. You know, the assumption is that Baez is up. Listella's rehabbing right now. He's going to be back. You know, it's the starts are going to get even fewer, if not eliminated, by September.
Right. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of infield pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you wanted to say about this situation?
No, I would just, I guess I would just second your, you know, I do still feel bad for him. And I suppose people can call us idiots for that. But I still respect his past and I feel bad for him. But I totally am on board with what's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah. If you enjoyed this podcast and you shop on Amazon, you can help us pay the podcasting bills by going to ivmv.com and clicking on the Amazon link on the side of the page. It doesn't cost you anything extra and your shopping experience is the same. Maybe if you do purchasing for your work or if you're friends with the purchase that or the person that does that purchasing, maybe ask them to go through our site. And thanks to all of you that do shop on Amazon through our website, we really do appreciate it. So yesterday, we both went to our first Cubs game of the year. I can't remember the last time that my first game was this late in the season.
I can because it was last year. Actually, I went in September for the first time last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't remember who I was talking with on the bus. I think maybe it was Tori or Ryan from Des Moines. But I said that I've actually been really content watching these games on TV and listening on the radio because it's just been such an exciting team to watch. And in previous years, the last 4 or 5 years, maybe I've needed that ballpark experience to enjoy watching this team.
Yeah.
And I've just had so much fun that it's really hasn't bothered me to.
Yeah. I think that's probably pretty accurate for me too. And the other side is, I mean, I had a kid late last year, so that really put a damper on the early season this year, but as far as attending in person. But yeah. I think you're right. Like, it's just been,
I've been totally content. Like, normally, like, you know, last number of years, the radio hasn't even really been, you know, like, that doesn't keep my attention. If I'm going to actually take a ball game in, the best way for me to do it was watching TV. But this year, I've been totally fine listening on the radio.
Yeah, I do a lot of that too, but I always have. But yeah, it's just been, it's definitely a complete new thing for us, I think, to to have a team that's way better than last year. And our expectation is they're only going to get better. Like, it's very, right, it's very surreal. And then to go see it for the first time is, yeah. And then they played, you know, they played as well as we hoped they would. And
yeah, it was fun just to sit there and be like, you know, sit there and it's like, oh, Schwarber. Oh, that's cool. I haven't seen him bat in a while in person. there's Anthony Rizzo. Oh, this is fun. I haven't seen him, you know. Oh, there's Chris Bryant.
And it was my first actual, you know, in-person Chris Bryant viewing, you know, because he skipped through every level so fast. I never saw him.
Yeah, Andy and I got to see him at spring training, so that was cool.
Yeah, but yeah, it is. I guess that's the kind of it's the. You know, the affirmation and the seeing what we've talked about for so long on the field, it is different than watching it on TV. And
how fun was it to watch Bryant hit that home run?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just like I just kind of sat there and like soaked it in. It was like, oh, yeah, this is what we've been waiting for. I just got to see it in person.
Yep. And that was one of those times too, like just hearing the sound, you're like, oh, that is gone. And then, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to put into words how amazing it is to see a person. And especially then you have 50 plus people that you're there with. You know, most people probably go to games with their buddy or maybe 3-4 people.
Right.
But to be there with 50 some people who you all sort of know, that just enhances it so much because everybody is just kind of going nuts and high-fiving. Right. And that was pretty amazing.
I love high fives.
I know.
I wish I would.
It's so cliche, but it's so good.
They feel so
like
good.
If you think about it, if the camera was on us when that happened and we were watching at home on TV, like, those guys are idiots, like that, like calm down, like that was cool, but we'd probably make fun of ourselves. But in person, it's just the
when you're there with so like good, you know, 55 other people, Those are that's 55 high fives I want to hand out, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, I'll give you a high, you know, give me some back. Let's have fun with this.
And the whole place was just jumping, yeah, which was cool. And we've been on the past bus trips, and I think we've been to sellouts before, but never have we seen this sort of energy.
Yeah. Well, okay. Like, so before we get to that, because I want to talk about some of that type of stuff, but I want to give the listeners that went on the bus trip a shout out. First off, Ryan and Michael flew up from Florida. That was awesome. It was great to hang out with them on Friday night, get to know them. Ryan's a Patreon supporter, and it was awesome to meet those guys. And it still blows me away they flew up from Florida, but hopefully they had a good time.
Yeah. Well, they took in a couple of games, so I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And both were wins, so I think that.
Yeah, it was a good weekend for them.
Yeah.
But we had several Patreon supporters on the bus. JP, Dawn and her husband, Eric, Tad and his wife, Monica, Jeremy brought his son on the bus trip. That was cool. I love it when kids come on the bus trip. I just think it's fun to see that. Jane, my mom, it was nice to have my parents on the bus. Even though my dad is a White Sox fan, he behaved himself. I thought he did well.
I think it might have seen him smile at one point.
Oh, except when things started falling apart in the ninth inning, I did not turn around and look at him because I knew he was just really relishing that.
He was waiting for the loss.
Oh, yeah. But John, that dude's always fun to hang out with. He's a local Patreon supporter and Quad City's own Jason Nunn. Jason's awesome. He brought his son, too. And so this was his son's first Cubs game. And on the bus, he said what the thing that he's looking forward to the most was a hot dog. I was like, and
that's the best.
He thoroughly enjoyed watching Rookie of the Year on the way home.
Yeah, he was laughing up front. I assume that was him up there, but he was laughing out loud. It made it better for me to watch it because I've seen it so many times.
That's kind of like the tradition. We watch Rookie of the Year on the way back, and there's always a kid up front. Like a couple years ago, there's a kid just belly laughing up there.
Because every time I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen put into a movie. And then, the 8-year-old in front of me is just laughing hysterically. And I'm like, okay, that's why. I get it.
Yep. Other listeners on the bus, Austin. Nice to meet Austin. Greg and Cindy were there. Brad and Lucas. Really cool to meet those guys. Tori and Ryan came in from Des Moines. The Bradens. Danny Rocket. Always nice to hang out with Danny. Also cool to meet Heather up there. I have to thank Heather. She was really nice to my daughter, and they bonded over their love for Anthony Rizzo.
And she let her hold the sign for most of the game.
Yeah. That was cool too. That was really nice of her. Of course, Michael from Galesburg and his wife, Delana. She's a Cardinals fan. She represented her team well, but she did let us have fun. I saw her cheering when Jason Mott came in, so I thought that was nice. And then we also got to meet a few other listeners on Friday night at that meetup. Some local listeners that we hadn't really met before, Kirk and Ryan. So just a fun weekend.
It's good to meet these people in person that are sort of Facebook avatars, and you sort of get a sense of your personalities through comments and things. But then, just great to see everybody in person.
Yeah, definitely. Weather was awesome. But
it felt like air conditioning inside Wrigley.
Yeah, it did. It felt really nice. So I thought maybe we could share our thoughts on the renovations so far, since this was our first game since everything. What'd you think of the boards?
I actually really, really loved them. The one sort of disclaimer is that we were sitting, what was it, section 115? So
215.
215, sorry, under the awning. So the left field board, we had a quarter view of it, so couldn't really see the whole thing. But then the right field board, we could see most of it. I really liked it. I think they were tastefully done. They look a lot smaller in person. And I think that they're really good updates, and they modernize it without ruining it. And I have no complaints about them.
Yeah, I thought they looked awesome. They looked so nice. Like, I was talking to the guys from Des Moines next to me, and I was like, it looks like it's painted on there. Mm-hmm. Like, that quality of video, whatever technology they have, is really, really nice. And I agree with you. I mean, the only I sat back and I tried to look at it from like the perspective of a, and I think in a way we are, but in a someone more of a traditionalist than we are. And I sat back in my seat and just kind of looked at Wrigley and those two boards and any other changes that they've made, video boards, things like that, in no way impacted the vibe of the ballpark. I did not think so. I mean,
I didn't think so either.
I thought that it actually kind of brought everything together a little bit more. I mean, they definitely fit the color scheme. They fit the feel. It just, I don't know. I really don't have anything negative to say about those boards.
Yeah, I didn't either. And the funny thing is I find myself, I looked in the same places that I normally would for certain things, like balls and strikes. I didn't know where to look on the new boards. I know they're probably up there.
I don't think they
were.
But
I kept looking at the old scoreboard. So like there are certain things you just look at the old scoreboard. That was my natural reaction. And the boards for me were just about like replays, or
it was so awesome to have those replays and in such
when the
good
things
quality.
Were challenged. Yep. And like the crotch tag that we saw 46 times. I mean, you know, like, and
but that's something that we didn't get before. And so you'd sit
when there's a 12-minute delay to watch the crotch tag 26 times. If those boards weren't there, we just see two umpires with headsets on and we're just sitting there like with nothing to do. And those boards, they showed it 20 times, but you know, it creates conversation. It gets a little buzz going. And then when the call is made, everybody reacts because everybody has their opinion. I think it totally enhances the experience. So especially given the changes they made with replay and stuff and reviewing.
Yep.
I'm gung-ho.
I'll agree with you, though. I did have a hard time finding stats, you know, just with being my first time there. And I will say, if I was going to criticize the boards at all, I kind of thought that there might be a little bit more in the way of stats up there. I kind of felt
it
like
it looked like the right field board was kind of the stat board, but it was more just like a lineup with really basic, you know, batting average.
Yeah, I kind of expected a little bit more, but that's just my expectations. You know, I wasn't like really let down or anything. I was just like, it seems like they could do a little. I mean, it's a huge board. They could do a little something else, but I loved being able to have that instant replay. I loved the fact that, I mean, it had replays up there quite a bit. And I feel like my conduct at the game is very typical. You know, I really didn't like, I wasn't on my phone the whole time. I was with my friends and just a big crowd of people having a good time. And every once in a while, I might miss a play. I mean, for crying out loud, I'd like a pole in front of me, you know, like it's possible I might miss a little bit of action. And I liked being able to look up and see it again. Or maybe I saw the play and I was just like, whoa, that was really, you know, something that caught your eye. And like, oh, I wish I could see that again. Well, you can look up the board and see it again. I just don't think that's what sports is. And I think that some of the traditionalists that are like, you know, think that it's because people don't pay attention enough. You know what?
Yeah.
Our group, I think, represented everyone in our section and everyone in our area well, and everybody was like really paying attention to this game. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a fun game to watch. It was a game that was important, and it was just, I don't know. I loved having that extra opportunity to see a play, like you said, see the replay, see the stats, all that kind of stuff. So anyway.
Yep, I'm down.
You kind of hinted at this earlier, and I've heard people say that games right now kind of have a playoff vibe. And you said that you felt there was more energy in the ballpark than maybe other sellouts that we've been to.
Yeah, and maybe that's just because it was so, you know, fresh and new, it just happened. But it did feel different. I mean, yeah, it felt like people are more involved. Everybody was into it more. I don't know. I think I'm sort of off the cuff here. I think this is the first time I've been to a game. Yeah, it has to be where they're, you know, in contention for a playoff spot. I've all those previous playoff runs I've seen on TV. I didn't see in person. So like, yeah, definitely was a different vibe for me.
Yeah, I think it was a different vibe. But after hearing like, oh, right now that has a playoff vibe. I mean, that's what I heard. I think my expectations were a little high. I think there's definitely excitement in the ballpark, but I think actual playoffs would be a lot more loud and a lot more, you know, I think it is definitely a better vibe, a more exciting vibe than what we've seen in over the last number of years. But I don't think it was quite playoff.
But what I think, and I had this discussion a little bit, I forget, maybe it was Danny next to me, but when you're at a game in August, the people there are just fans, you know. They bought a ticket to a game in August against the Giants. You get to the playoffs, it gets a little full of people who just have the money to buy the playoff tickets, let's be honest.
Right.
I do think the vibe maybe is, I've never been to one. This is all just my guess, but the vibe might be a little different. Like when you go there, it's just your everyday fan who's at a game. And I think it's a little more casual's not the right word, but just the sort of, you know, the everyday fan versus like somebody who can afford a playoff ticket. Cause I probably can't.
Right.
You know, so
step it up. Patreon.
That could change. I know. buy us playoff tickets, Patreon supporters.
In the chat,
like our full year of Patreon probably couldn't buy us World Series tickets.
Right. In the chat, they want to know what beer we're drinking tonight.
Oh, I actually have, this is what I drank on the bus, which I didn't drink many of them, but I have a Founders All Day IPA.
Man, JP brought some beer on that bus. He wasn't messing around.
Oh, jeez.
You know, JP, it would have been awesome if you would have given that to me about a half hour earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, JP got on late in like Aurora, and he brought, what was it called, Dragon's Milk or something like that?
11%.
11%. And it tasted great.
It did, but, yeah.
All I could think is like, I wish I wasn't drinking this on a bus. I wish I was just sitting at home, you know, I just had a steak or something, but... Yeah, that was intense,
yeah, but delicious. It was really good, yeah. I'm drinking water, so that's not exciting, but.
That's a really good beer, water.
It is. Bus trip was awesome. I looked, and this was just the second Cubs win that I've seen in person since 2011. I've seen... really ugly games in person over those years. Some heartbreaking games, but mainly a lot of really ugly blowouts. So it was really nice to see a good solid win. I'll be uploading pictures from myself and other people on the bus to an album on our Facebook page. I'll probably be doing that on Monday or Tuesday. So if you want to see those, be on the lookout for them. You can get to our Facebook by going to ivmb.com/Facebook. And if you're thinking, oh, man, I wish I would have done the bus trip. That sounds like they had fun. Well, guess what? We've got another event coming up here in a few weeks. The IVMV weekend at the lake. Basically, I'll keep this brief because you've probably heard me talk about it. But we do a weekend out here at our place. We have a lake on our property. And so we do, you know, the boating, fishing, swimming, whatever you want to do that involves a lake, I guess. Or if you're not into the lake thing, that's cool. Camping.
You chase the chickens in the yard.
All right, there's chickens. Camping. If you don't want to camp, there's room to sleep inside. We'll have a bonfire. Friday night, we're going over to Michael's place, and he has built a wiffle ball field in his backyard. And I think if you're hearing me say, oh, you know, he built a wiffle ball field, you know, you're probably thinking like, oh, yeah, he has some plates. You know, he put down a home plate and some bases in his yard. That's not the case. There's a wall. There's a green monster, a scoreboard a wall built around the scoreboard. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it's
full on Field of Dreams, you know, mini style.
Right. So I'm really looking forward to that. Saturday, we'll go to Duffy's and hang out and watch the Cubs there. Basically, we just kind of go with the flow of the weekend. I mean, we don't really have any like concrete plans just because we want to hang out and have fun. So if this interests you, shoot me an email, Corey, Corey, at ivmv.com. If you're in the Chicago area, I live outside of Galesburg. It's right off Amtrak, goes straight from Chicago into Galesburg, and we can run into town and pick you up. So 2 weeks, August 21st through 23rd, and it's going to be fun. So we do have some listener or some questions from listeners. I typically ask for these on our Facebook page on Sunday mornings. Again, it's ivmv.com/Facebook. We're also at IVMV on Twitter and at IVMV Podcast on Instagram. The first one here comes from Christopher, and he says, I don't really have any questions other than how fun has the last 10 days or so been? Plus, I like hearing my name on the podcast. So.
Yeah. Well, it's especially been fun for us because we actually went to a game. So
yeah.
Wins plus attendance in person is pretty incredible.
Yeah, and I'm going to two more games in September, so after that game, I'm really excited to go back up there.
Yeah, that definitely got my juices flowing a little bit more. Like, you know, you watch the whole season and you get excited, but then you get into that park and it's just a whole nother level. It makes me jealous of people who can go to more games.
Right. Next question is from Jason from New Mexico, and he says, who is going to cover first base when Rizzo gets a day off?
That is a good question.
Well, Coughlin could. He's played two games, three innings at first base for the Cubs.
Has Ross ever played first?
You know, I don't think that he... I'm not sure.
That would make sense, like, you know, your backup catcher maybe, but...
Or maybe, I don't think Schwarber has, but.
Wouldn't it be, Bryant could be probably pretty good first baseman. They won't do it, but.
Right. I mean, I think there's probably.
The length.
Yeah. But I think really if you're looking for consistency over there, you know, Coughlin maybe, seeing as how he's done it in the past, Olt when he comes up. Or
has Dino ever played first?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I don't have anything pulled up in front of me.
I would think it'd be like a utility guy or backup catcher. So that'd be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Ideally, though, maybe until Olt comes up, hopefully Rizzo can stay healthy and stop getting hit in the knee with the baseball. this next question is from Jeff. And he says, I'm watching today's game and Arrieta just hit Aoki in the head. I noticed he never went and touched first base before a pinch runner came out. Am I wrong that he has to touch first base, or was the rule recently changed with all the concern about concussions? It makes sense that they wouldn't make you touch first in a situation like that, but I thought it was always a rule. I looked into it a little bit, and I couldn't find anything about that the player that's hit actually has to go and touch first base before there can be a pinch runner.
Yeah, I don't know anything more than that. I mean, I did kind of like Google around a little bit and I didn't find anything definitive, but my guess is that he's kind of right and that the concussion worry is probably greater.
I could kind of see that being a rule though.
Yeah.
But what's funny is the thing that I found the most when I Googled it and was kind of like looking around was this idea that like if it is a hit by pitch, if the ball bounces before it hits the batter, and then it happened in today's game. I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so I guess we're not sure.
Yeah, I honestly am not sure. Obviously, if it was ever a rule, I guess it's not now.
Yeah. That would be kind of ridiculous if they did make him like walk down there with assistance right, to touch first base and then go into the dugout.
Yeah. I'm sure he was shaken up, but we've seen worse hit by pitches. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, initial reports are that he's going to be
right. But I mean, okay. Like some of those really, really ugly ones,
yeah.
Like I can't imagine like just bleeding and stuff. And somebody's got to go down and touch first base.
Well, you got to touch first.
Take somebody on a stretcher down there and set their hand on it.
So. Does the wheel of the stretcher count?
Right. So sorry, we have no answer for that. Jeff, Christopher says, talk about how the defense looks good with Castro not in the lineup. I don't dislike him, but he's in a funk right now, and I think it was a great move to bench him. My question is, do you think they are actively pursuing a trade, and maybe that's why they benched him?
Well, I do think shortstop-wise, yeah, it looks better. I mean, Russell's clearly a better defensive shortstop. Second base-wise, I think it's a downgrade. You know, Coughlin at second is not as good as Russell. But I don't think that they're currently pursuing a trade. No.
Well, I think they would if they could, but...
Yeah, but I don't think you bench him and then pursue.
Right.
I mean, if somebody makes an offer, yeah, he's on the table, but... yeah, you're certainly not increasing his value by putting him on the bench.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be... I see that trade happening in the off season, and I think the Cubs will probably take a hit on it.
I think you're right, too, that the off season at least gives you other teams the chance to sort of like forget about last season and be like, well, maybe that was a blip, and
right. It's not well, and let their hitting instructors and stuff look at, you know, just see if they see something that they might be. You would think that it's something that this front office would probably recognize, but...
Won't go to the Royals and try to be turned around by Dale Swaim.
I didn't think about that. Stuart says, who do you think the September call-ups will be, and what impact do you think they will have?
Well, Baez is a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Olt is probably ready by then.
Carl Edwards Jr.
Yep.
Probably Alcantara, just because of his versatility.
I mean, Caesar's already up right now, isn't he?
Yes. He's up.
Like, he went back and then came back in the same day or something.
Well, he came up for the Ross bereavement leave.
Right.
And Christian Villanueva. We could see him. I really don't see the September call-ups being relied on to carry the team. I think what we'll see is a lot of like pinch hitting and maybe them being used to give some everyday players, especially the young ones that aren't used to these long seasons, give them a day off. I think they could all impact the team, but I don't see the Cubs relying on them to come in and like carry them into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They're
maybe matchup guys, but they're not going to change a ton.
Right, and I think that might be good for some players like Javier Baez, that he can come in and, you know, when he came in last season, he was like the first one to get called up, and instantly there was so much hype, so much pressure, and it was, you know, even though they had Castro and Rizzo, it was relying on Baez, and it was like, what's he going to do, and is he going to carry this team? Well, now with him coming up, there's not that expectation on him. I mean, not only has he had a really rough year, you know, just from the time he got called up last year till right now, it's been a rough year for Baez. And I think that him coming up in a less pressure situation is probably a really good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't have this year. There's nobody coming up that you're like, yeah, this is the future, because the future's already here.
Yeah.
The pressure is, like you said, not quite as great.
Right. Jeremy from Mesa says, my son just turned 2, and is it too late to change his name? I was thinking something like Rizzo, Bryant, Schwarber, Russell, Thomas. he said, I'll hang up and listen.
I love that comment. I'll hang up and listen. I've been on hold for 6 hours. Right. I'll hang up and listen. I think legally you can do whatever you please as a parent. That's true.
I think you maybe can. I don't know. So, you know, sports fans have been known to name their kids after players. Which player do you think is most likely to have children named after him of this group?
Addison Russell. Just because the double meaning, you know, the Addison.
Yeah. I could see it being Chris, like spelled with a K. Because that's something it isn't like... You know,
I think the other ones are more like dog names.
Right. I know someone that named their child after a baseball player. I'm not going to mention who it is. And it is a baseball player that at the time seemed like a really good person to name their child after. Right now, the name wasn't identical, but it was close enough. And it was like a variation of this player's name. And I think like right now, this player is obviously not worthy of naming their children, anyone's children after. So that's why I kind of see it being like, you're right. Like Addison could be like, oh no, I didn't mean Addison Russell. That's for Addison. Yeah. or Chris with a K. There's a lot of Chris's with K's out there. So,
yeah.
You know, like you hear somebody named Ryan and you know it was a Ryan Sandberg.
See, like I said before, like I'm more inclined to name my pets after baseball players versus my children.
Right.
Because then it's like, yeah, he was, you know, the dog lives for 12 years. Right. Like, hey, he's all right for most of that dog's life.
And you can easily change a dog's name.
Exactly. Just confuse him a little bit. With a kid, that's a little more
difficult. It'll take him like a month to figure it out, you know. That's why I've always got backup names for my dogs. You know? I mean, you have
two Cubs named dogs.
I do. I have Wrigley and Rizzo, but I also call them both Buddy. So that way, you know.
just to keep them on their toes.
That's right. Except, yeah. Okay. Sean says, when Castro starts to get playing time again, what do you think the chances are of him shifting to third or second? Possibly Bryant to the outfield and Baez called up.
I need to reread that so I can sort it out.
Well, I think basically it's not the defense that I'm not sure Castro is going to get consistent playing time again, because whose bat are you taking out to put his in? And I can't, there is no one in the lineup that you would, other than David Ross, I can't think of anyone that you would prefer that person or to prefer Castro batting over that batter, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that came out right at all, but I don't think if their decision was we need these other bats in the lineup, unless somebody goes terribly cold, and I don't even know, I think, you know, Bryant went kind of cold, but they weren't going to move him out of the lineup. I don't think it's going to happen, but I really don't think that Castro will be back at shortstop.
I don't either. And I don't think it makes, I mean, the outfield's becoming as crowded as the infield. So, you know, to move like Bryant off a third to let him play third, it just,
right, that you're taking
seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Because then Schwarber, you know, it seems to me Schwarber's going to play left for a little while.
Right.
So then that spot's taken. So I don't know. It seems it's too crowded for Castro.
Yeah, which is, it's really too bad. But Jason from Rock Island, he says, do you think the fact that there is no quote-unquote closer a problem for the bullpen? And he said, meaning that one person not having that title messes with the bullpen's mental status.
No, I don't think it's a problem. I mean, when they first did this, I was kind of behind it and thought that you play the hot hand like he's doing with the lineup. So, no, I'm good with it. I don't think it seems to affect the mentality too much. We saw Mott pitch yesterday and he wasn't good. And, you know, Rondon came in today and got a save, barely. So no, I don't think so. I mean, it's not like we're talking, you know, one of the most dominant closers that's in a committee role. So I'm okay with it given the staff that they have.
Yeah, me too. I think it's kind of entertaining to watch, actually.
Yeah. No, and it just makes sense, you know. The guy who's pitching well gets the ninth inning. I almost think it relieves pressure.
Right.
From that.
Yeah. Yep.
Having to be the guy all the time.
Yep. The next question here comes from Kathy. She says, my questions are about celebrating the division win. She said, I have a memory of watching the Cubs celebrating their division win. In the clubhouse, they were pouring champagne on each other and acting like they won the World Series. I know in hockey, they don't celebrate until they win the cup for fear that they are willing to settle for second place. Are there any other sports that celebrate like they do in baseball for just getting into the playoffs? If the Cubs are ever lucky enough to win the division, do you think they should forgo celebrating since they haven't won a World Series in so long? Do clubs celebrate like I described? Do clubs still celebrate like I described, or is it not done anymore? Since the Cubs haven't won in so long, I haven't really paid attention.
That is a good question.
Well, first off, Benny's Beverage Depot is the official champagne sponsor of the Cubs, right?
Right. So they're going to have it there.
Right. You know what? I think that this young team needs to have fun. And if they get into the playoffs, I'm all for them celebrating.
Yeah, and as far as comparing to other sports, I think it's the nature of the length of the season. You know, the 162-game grind. And then you finally, like, that marks the end of the season. And it means you're still alive. I think that's why there's so much celebration versus other sports. But I would say I'd be all for a little bit of a lower-key celebration, like she noted about hockey. Hockey's a little weird, though. They've got so many weird traditions about, like, not touching certain trophies and not celebrating. And I think that's going a bit far. But I'd be all for, like, hey, you know, let's go celebrate a little bit, but not get too crazy because we have more work to do.
Right. Yeah. Scott says, I think if they make the playoffs and he said, I think if they make the playoffs and are done after that one game, that this is still a successful season. What do you think?
You know, on August 9th, I completely agree. I absolutely agree that it's a success. If that happens, that will really hurt. But I think objectively, yes, it's already a successful season.
Right.
We don't need much more to prove that this is a much better team. But as a fan, losing a one-game playoff, that's going to hurt pretty badly.
Yeah. Yep. It'll hurt, but, and that's, I think we talked about this on the last episode. I really hope fans don't, if the Cubs don't get into the playoffs or lose that one game play-in thing, I hope that they don't see this as a failure and kind of like freak out about it and think there needs to be big changes. I mean, this front office is not going to make, they're going to make changes. Well, yeah, they're going to make changes, but it's not like, oh, give up on insert. Right. You know, insert young player's name that did not perform great down the stretch. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm going with my they've already exceeded my expectations for this season, and I'm happy.
Yeah, me too. Although, listen to the podcast after that game and hear our reactions.
Yeah. Jason from New Mexico has another one here. When is it appropriate to use we when referring to the Cubs? Obviously, we didn't play on the field, but when talking about the standings, is it okay to use we? My personal standard is that we is always acceptable as long as you don't do we won and they lost type of thing. So when the Cubs win, it's a we, but then when the Cubs lose, it's they.
Generally speaking, I don't use we. Sometimes I slip.
I know. Yeah, that's
it. A rule for me not to use we.
I try not to,
but I can't really tell you why.
I think it just sounds weird.
Yeah.
But it doesn't like offend me when I hear other fans do it. You know, it's just something I try to not do. But I don't have a problem with it at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it definitely means you're a hardcore fan, so. Yeah.
Maybe that's just it. Is like some of the fans that are like way over the top, when they use it, then it rubs you the wrong way. Yeah. So,
If a Cardinals fan says we, you want to punch him.
right. Ryan says, do you ever heckle players when you go to games? And if so, what are your favorite lines?
I do not. No, I've never sat close enough to heckle a player except at the minor league level, which is just weird to heckle a 19-year-old. So no, I don't. I would heckle Hunter Pence if I were close enough.
Oh, come on.
And the best sign that I saw yesterday was Hunter Pence is a Trump supporter. So that would be one of my lines. And I would totally heckle him. But I think he'd like it.
Yeah. I've never heckled a player. I don't think. I can't remember ever doing it. I don't know. It's just not me, I guess. I don't mind a good heckle or a funny heckle. Actually, last year at the Cubs social media night, I was sitting with a group, and Jason Wirth was in the outfield. And I enjoyed some of the creative heckles that people gave Jason Wirth, you know, mainly around the word worth. But and those were just kind of funny. I don't really enjoy the whole just like you suck, mm-hmm. you know, that or anything involving like vulgarities and stuff. I don't know. It's just not me. It doesn't really appeal to me. And I know that I've sat with people who I think only go to games to be able to scream at players, and I don't really understand that.
Yeah, my go-to probably is comes from a guy named Henry Rowengartner, and it's pitcher's got a big butt. So that's my favorite, but otherwise I don't really heckle. Just pitcher's got a big butt,
which is effective.
Yeah, and I usually put my hands up to my face and.
All right. So thanks to everybody that sent those in. Hopefully I didn't miss any of them. And if I missed yours, I'm really sorry. One thing before we move on here, a listener emailed me yesterday or today, I can't remember, and said that they have 2 Iowa Cubs ticket vouchers for any game for the remainder of the season. They want to get rid of them. So if that interests you at all, if you're in the Des Moines area, or if you're heading that way, or you want to go to an Iowa Cubs game here before their season ends, I think you have maybe about 3 weeks left or something like, or maybe a month, much. 4 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. It ends, Labor Day, I think. So get a hold of me, email me Corey@IVMV.com, and I will send you to, the person that has those vouchers. So Kurt, what is your scary stat of the week?
All right. Well, this one's pretty timely. And it also was backed up. I kind of like to see when national sites or media, you know, give love to Cubs players. But Baseball Reference tweeted yesterday that Jake Arrieta has been great all season, but since July 2nd, he's gone absolutely bonkers. And that happened yesterday, so before today's start, which was one of his better ones. So I'm going to give you those stats, including today. And so since July 2nd, Arrieta is 6-1, and the team is 7-1. His ERA is 1.9. 49 strikeouts to 14 walks in 49.2 innings. Today was his 10th straight quality start. And in the 6 wins he's had since July 2nd, he's got 3 shutouts, 2 one-run games, and 2 two-run games. And that's just his part. You know, runs may have been scored later. But he's gone at least 6 innings in each of those starts. And those, it only allowed, I think, in the loss, he only allowed like 3 or 4 runs. So he's just been incredibly dominant, and it's been great to watch. So,
yeah. You know, you talking about that kind of reminds me, and I must have missed it or lost it or something, but I seem to remember somebody asking a question, sending it in about Arrieta being Cy Young worthy or something like that.
Yeah, it would be hard to probably make that argument against like a Kershaw or something, but at this point, he's definitely,
or Scherzer,
he's pitching now. Yeah, Scherzer would be tough, but yeah, if it were half a season, I suppose you could, but it's unlikely. But I think he's pitching at that level,
right? I think if you look at how he's performed in the last month or month and a half. Yeah, that's Cy Young worthy. And not that what he did before was bad, but right. there's a lot of really good pitchers in baseball right now. So
Yeah, I think if the Cubs make the playoffs and do well, that only helps his cause.
Yeah. I still don't think he'll win it, but
I don't either. He just doesn't have the name recognition of some of those other guys.
Right. But I mean, that's where something like some success by the team and some success in the postseason, and he will have that reputation. If he does that on, in prime time in the playoffs, he'll be the hot name for sure. So, Kurt, do you have an internet muscle flex this week?
I don't.
Okay. I have one. It's not even a great flex. It's just something I actually went old school. I went back to Cubs.com. There was an article on Starlin Castro, and I'm just going to read a little piece of this person's comment. But this person said he is lucky to be a bench player and will be out of baseball altogether within a few months, possibly weeks.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's ridiculous.
I know. I really.
Because the funny thing is, yeah, he's lucky to be a bench player, but on most teams, he'd be easily a
starter. Well, the thing that got me was being out of baseball altogether within a few weeks. Like, no team might think that they can have a chance, you know, could help him figure things out. Or
Japan doesn't even want him. That's how bad he is.
Oh, man. Yep. He's going to be bagging groceries.
Yep. He's 45 years old.
Right.
He's washed up.
Yep. All right. So on the last episode, we asked a question, and we asked you to leave us voicemail through our app or by calling the voicemail line. And I said that we would play it at the end of this episode. The question was, if the Cubs got into a one game wild card play-in game, who would you want the Cubs to send to the mound? And we will include those voicemails at the end of this show, so stick around for those. And then we have a question for you to play on the midweek episode, the next episode. And the question this time is, are the Cubs doing the right thing by benching Starlin Castro? So if you don't have our app and you have an iPhone or an Android phone, it's totally free. Just go to ivmv.com/iOS or ivmv.com/Android on your phone and download it. You can find it in the stores too. You can call the show tapping the contact within the app, and then it says call the show. If you don't have a smartphone, you can call our voicemail line. It's 309-517-0624. Again, that phone number is 309-517-0624. And just save that number in your phone whenever you have a thought about the Cubs or whatever. Just call the voicemail line, and we'd like to include those on our show. Again, the question is, do you think the Cubs did the right thing by benching Starlin Castro? This week's episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors. Jeremy, Dave, Dizzle, David, Jeremy, Chad, Dallas, Charles, Stephen, Stewart, Guy, Peter, Jeff, Jane, Shane, Michael, John, Andrew, Craig, Rick, Luke. Our associate producers are Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Tim Marr, Jason from New Mexico, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. Patreon helps us pay the bills. Your support through Patreon helps us pay the podcasting bills. It helps us continue improving the podcast. If you'd like to join the ranks as a Patreon supporter of this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/ivyenvy. And we'd like to thank Todd Stapleman Jr. and Ryan Liebach. Hopefully I said that last name right. I apologize if I didn't. They recently joined the Patreon campaign. Thanks a lot to those guys. Again, go to patreon.com/ivmv. That's patreon.com/ivmv. So, this Cubs team, it's been a ton of fun to watch this season. And I think that even casual Cubs fans are starting to get really excited. So if you have any friends that are Cubs fans, or you work or go to school with Cubs fans, we'd really appreciate it if you would tell them about our podcast. So thanks for listening to this episode. The Cubs get Monday off, and then they host the Brewers for a three-game series. That's Tuesday through Thursday at Wrigley Field. And we'll be back on Wednesday night with the midweek episode of this podcast. And until then, go Cubs!
Hi guys, this is Dawn from Plainfield. So I'm totally following your directions. I've paused your podcast, mid-run, mind you, and I'm calling in the show to answer your question about who I'd want pitching for us in a one-game playoff. And that's a tough one because I think my love for Jake Arrieta is well-known, but I think I'd have to go with John Lester pitching the one-game playoff. He knows what to do in a pressure-filled situation. He's been there before. He thrives on it. So I think he could get us into the actual playoffs, and then we could have Jake on the bump for the first game and get our for sure victory with Jake on the mound. So I like that. I like Lester going to get us in and then Jake starting us off. So there's my answer, and I can't wait to see it actually play out this October. So have a great day. Bye.
Hey, this is Justin from Iowa. You know me, a filthy swab on Twitter. And I would start Arrieta, and the reason is because not only is he leading the pitching staff in strikeouts and in a lower ERA, but if it comes down to just one game, he can provide a couple hits that this team might need. All right, thanks. Thanks for the show, guys. Bye.
Hey, guys. My name is Tyson. I'm out of Portland, Oregon. You just told me to pause while I was listening to the podcast and give you my opinion on who I would rather see pitch. And honestly, Arrieta and Lester, both of them are pitching so well right now. It really doesn't matter to me which one would be out there. I would trust either one of those guys to go out there and get the win. If you would have asked me 2 months ago, I probably would have said Lester because of his experience. Most people probably would have said Arrieta because of his ERA. But Lester's playoff experience is invaluable. But at this point, Arrieta has proven this entire season that he is a shutdown ace, and he is just as capable of doing anything in the playoffs as Lester is. I think either one of those would be, I'd be ecstatic if we got into a playoff and had either one of them on the mound. So I would just say whichever one of those two has had the most rest, and I trust either one of them to get the win.
Hi, this is Jeremy from Mesa, and my pick for Cubs pitcher in the wild card game, if they make it there, would be Anthony Rizzo. He does everything else well. He's fantastic. I love him. He's handsome. And I'm thoroughly convinced that he could pitch a shutout in the playoffs.
Hey, guys. I'm thinking that Carlos Zambrano should be looked into as a possible wild card game playoff starter. He just retired a year ago, and I think he's available since he was released from the Phillies. He comes cheap, and he's only 34 years old, and I'm pretty sure those anger management classes are finally paying off.
What's up, guys? This is Dave calling from Burlington, Iowa again. Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the whole John Lester. Well, my pick's John Lester for the one-game playoff, if they're lucky enough to get in. You don't pay a guy that much money to not pitch that game. Plus, something you have to keep in mind is the fact that Jake Arrieta has never lasted this long. I had this big of a pitch load for a season. I hope he stays healthy and everything, and I don't see any reason why he won't, but you don't bring in John Lester to not have him start. Plus, he looked since July. Lester's been one of the best in baseball. So, hey, love the show, guys. Keep it up. Saturday, so you guys are probably getting ready to get on the bus. Hope everybody has a great time, and go Cubs!